Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, why would you do this? I have a wife and family! We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan. Hi, I'm Tom.
And I'm Alex.
And this is a podcast called Flash in the Pan that you've decided to listen to.
Oh, wow. Welcome back if you've listened to it before.
And if this is your first time, then welcome. Grab a chair, pull up a seat, and sit. Or walk.
Don't.
If you're commuting, walk. Continue to commute.
Yes, please don't stop on our account. That might make you late.
Yeah. This is a podcast where we talk about old animation on the interwebs.
Wow.
It's exciting. And we've got an eclectic mix for you today.
We sure do.
We're going to start by telling you that, hey, whoever you are, wherever you are, you're probably pretty cool, and you matter. And you know what else matters?
Our website,
flashinthepancast.com, where you can find links to all of the cartoons we talk about, as well as all our previous episodes.
In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter.
Not as much as our beloved listeners.
True. Very true.
Because without you guys, we would be even more lonely. At the time of recording, it is a day after...
Yes, it is.
And celebrate, we're going to be watching a special kind of Homestar Runner cartoon, in that it's not really a cartoon. It's called Labor Daber, and we're going to watch it right now.
Labor Day is a Labor Day. There with me now are three. Labor Day is a Labor Day. Whoa! Ah! Did you get a hold of some bad thorn-style rations?
And we're back.
I feel like I've learned something.
What have you learned?
Homestar likes popcorn.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Homestar does like popcorn. Yeah. So this is one of... a kind of experimental at the time.
Yeah.
Series of Homestar shorts, which are done with...
puppets.
With handmade Homestar puppets, yeah.
But it is still uploaded to the website through Flash.
It's still so very
It still
Flash.
Counts.
It still counts.
Before someone says that doesn't count, it does, because it's Flash.
Yeah.
We just watched it on the site, so there.
Alright.
Just getting in before someone's like, that's not real. Well, it is, so cool your chats.
Yeah. Actually, there is some Flash After Effect editing going on.
There is, yeah. There is,
so,
yeah.
Since Homestar, in puppet form, does not have arms.
Yeah. They've animated a spoon.
They have. They've given Homestar a spoon to wave around imperiously.
Which is animated in Flash.
Yes. Yeah. And, well, it's just moved around the screen.
It's just moved around the screen, yeah.
Yeah. I am amused by the fact that since this is from the past, 2004, the file size has to be kept low. Because a lot of people, they're not on broadband, they're still dialing up to get their Flash.
Yeah,
and so if you watch on the original Homestar Runner site, the video is minuscule.
It's so small.
It's so tiny.
It's adorable. Though.
Yes. It's like the lowest quality video where you can still tell, oh yeah, that's the cheat.
That's the cheat.
And that's Homestar. And that's a popcorn machine called Benedetto.
Yeah, who did, they don't really do anything until right at the end.
Do you want to explain the plot?
So the cheat is, animating bowling? I don't even know what you'd call them, the animations that play when you, like, bowl a spare and a split.
Yeah,
when
so
you go bowling.
So you know when you go to a bowling alley and they have those screens that show you your scores.
Yeah.
And you roll like a strike or a spare or a gutter ball.
Yeah.
There's like a special animation that plays, usually really low quality CG.
Yeah. So
the cheat's been making some.
The cheat is making some. Why? We don't know. Homestar's having none of it because it's Labor Day.
And so Cheech should not be working.
The Cheech should not be working on Labor because the Labor Day is Labor Day.
Today Labor Day is Labor Day. And so he charges the Cheech $5.
And hits him with a spoon.
Yeah. And then his...
And then throws popcorn all over him.
Well, not on purpose. Not on purpose, because his fellow soldier, Benedetto, who is a popcorn machine, just goes ape.
Yeah, and just starts spilling popcorn everywhere.
Yeah. But it turns out that it's delicious. And that's
so
the end of
fine.
The cartoon.
Yeah.
And then there are a bunch of Easter eggs if you click on the pieces of popcorn at the end for the different... bowling animations that the Cheech has made.
It's the kind of extremely specific thing that makes me want to have access to, like...
A bowling alley?
A bowling alley, so I could actually put those up.
Oh, if only.
That would be amazing.
Oh, wow.
Do you think anyone's done that?
What, with the Cheech animations?
Yeah, like...
I hope so,
like,
but I doubt
it. With, like, a homemade bowling alley or something.
See, I was going to ask if someone had edited any of these into the dream sequence from The Big Lebowski.
Well, I know what I'm doing with my afternoon tomorrow.
That the Cheech really tied the room together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very short. It's very sweet, but it's yeah.
It's the definition of short and sweet.
Yeah, it's nice. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it reveals a strange lust for power in Homestar's character. In that he's wearing that mixing bowl like a helmet, he's conducting himself like a proper little general.
I don't know. I mean, Homestar always has kind of come across to me as someone who's definitely after
glory.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Either some form of adoration from multiple people, or glory, as you say.
Yeah.
Isn't he like supposed to be like a track star?
Yes, he's a terrific athlete.
Yeah. So, like, there's that. You've already got that.
Yeah. He's become a more militaristic figure.
It's not a good look.
Mm. I mean, well, wearing a bowl on your head is rarely a good look.
No.
Unless you're in Devo. And even then, the fact that it's five of them doing it.
Pushing it.
Yeah.
Maybe only one of you wear the bowl next time.
That's basically it. It's cute, it's fun, and it's got puppets which showed up plenty.
Yeah, they did
in Homestar Runner, including some adorable videos of the brothers Chaps, the creators, kids interacting with the puppets.
Oh, which I love that video so much.
Genuinely beautiful. We will get to it at some point. But
they've kind of been reusing the puppets more recently.
They have, yeah. On their YouTube stuff.
It's not so much a. So they've like Strong Lad's come back, but it's like he does like a art show,
a how to draw thing, yeah.
But like it's
a puppet glove.
It's a big puppet glove.
Yes.
He's making cartoons for automatic scoring computers at bowling alleys.
There you go. Yeah.
An incredibly specific thing to be doing.
It's very good. I like the farmer that just goes, Steerake.
Yeah.
But my favourite is Double Gutter.
Double Gutter is pretty good.
Because these two hideous faces spitting bowling balls into the gutters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Today Labor Day is Labor Day.
Today Labor Day is Labor Day. Come on, everybody. It's
Labor
Day.
Today Labor Day is Labor Day, Bo.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good when I say it.
It doesn't.
It sounds good when Homestar says it.
It does, because Homestar is not just a terrific athlete and warmonger, which is a part of his character which does come up elsewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
That's just to wet your whistle for future explorations.
Okay.
But I think for now, we're done with the label. That's just a whole... A moose-boosh.
Yeah.
Before we get into the deep and strange.
Oh, boy.
Because another thing that happened in the time since we recorded the last episode is a couple of special cartoons came out on the Netflix. One of them is the rather excellent Rocko's Modern Life, Static Kling.
Yes,
and the other one and the one that's most relevant to today's discussion is...
Oh my god.
Invader Zim, Enter the Florpus.
And yeah, so both very good.
Both, like, both really excellent. Very good.
Make me want the return of Invader Zim and Rocko's Modern Life.
Well, speaking of wanting the return of Invader Zim, I'm going to take you way back to 2006.
Oh boy.
Not long after the premature cancellation of the cartoon, Invader Zim. Because we're going to be looking at a fan creation called Invader Zim, TMHSE, or The Most Horrible Short Ever. Here we go. And we're back. Cue maniacal laughter.
I'm all out of that. Spent all day terrifying customers on the phone.
Oh no.
Just laughing at them all day.
Did you also promise Doom?
Yeah.
Or Monkey?
No. Monkey feels like the kind of thing that should remain in 2006 and probably not come back.
Okay. So, this was made as a passionate labor of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
By fans so eager to have their cartoon back that they wanted to make one of their own.
Yeah.
How do you think it managed?
I would actually say pretty fucking well.
Mm.
If you'd told me that this was like a first pass, a kind of like an advanced animatic for an actual Invader Zim scene, I'd been like, yeah, sure. I'd have believed you.
Yeah, okay.
It pretty much hits, I feel like, hits the humor and the pacing on the head.
Yeah.
I guess that pretty much, like, exactly right.
I like the pacing a lot, actually.
Even the voices are, like, fairly close to the... Fairly, kinda.
Yeah,
not too bad. They could have been a lot worse.
They could have been a lot worse, that's true.
I'd say this is a fairly great go at making their own scene from Invader Zim.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's got a setup, it's got payoff, it's got little jokes, it's got... I just wrote down the word screaming.
Yeah, because, there's a lot of screaming.
Yeah, but again, authentic to the original show.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Even the Enter the Florpus had a lot.
So much
a
screaming.
Lot of yelling.
Yeah.
It's like, just like being back in 2005.
There was actually a Richard Horvitz, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. So Richard Horvitz, in an interview, was asked... if it was difficult on his voice to voice Zim. And he said, what do you think?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, yeah. And there are appropriate amounts of, like, throat-rending screaming here.
Yeah.
Whatever the audio quality, they don't do the thing that we've often seen in Flash animations where someone will scream, but, like, quietly so that their mum doesn't hear in the next
room.
Yeah,
I know, it's like proper like
yeah, they went
on yelling like ah
yeah they went for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's cute. Dib shows up and then just decides that
he's like,
he
you
cannot
know
be bothered.
Yeah. Can't blame him.
Yeah.
Can't say I really blame him on that one.
Yeah, the we get a little Flying Moose cameo as like a little cutaway joke. That's cute.
I'm glad we finally figured out what the Flying Moose was for. Because that really was one of the plot points they desperately needed to tie up.
There is that.
Yeah.
We get the hideous monkey. We get Gurr's antics. Gurr was... At the time, especially. Probably the most popular character.
Like, yeah, just period.
Especially among kids. And especially among...
Tweens.
Yeah, yeah.
Very popular. There are so many people that had, like, a Gurr hoodie.
I still know at least one person who owns and wears a Gurr hoodie.
You know what? Good. Good. Keep the magic alive.
Yeah.
Don't let it die.
See, Gurr is interesting to me as a character because Gurr is like a distillation of every kind of loud, hyperactive child comedy thing.
Yeah, from the early 2000s.
Into one
entity, yeah.
Into one occasionally hilarious, occasionally very grating entity.
Yeah, it's kind of a Marmite thing with Gurr, for sure.
Yeah.
You either really like it or you really dislike it. But different from Marmite is that in the same instance, you can like and also dislike Gurr.
Yes, I think so. I'll be honest, this short didn't do much for me just from an entertainment standpoint.
Okay, yeah. I mean, there's not a massive amount to it.
Yeah, like it's well made.
Yeah.
It's like the timing is really good, the animation is very solid, very faithful.
Yeah.
And like the music sounds very authentic.
It does, yeah.
And we'll get onto a bit of that later in the Flash
hour. Okay,
The actual jokes themselves don't really land with me.
I mean, fair enough, they were made by, you know,
they were made by teens.
2006.
Yeah, in 2006. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely a by fans for fans thing. But you can tell that they put a lot of work into this.
Yeah, hell of a lot.
And clearly a lot of pride in the project as well. I mean, as you see at the start of the cartoon in the start menu, you can play the cartoon or you can click on the little question mark, and that gives you basically their manifesto.
Yeah.
The Invader Zim Fan Animation Society, or ISFAS. and they say that instead of complaining like a loser, they went and made their own cartoon, which, fair enough, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's cute. You can see, like, real passion in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's always cool to see, like, a community surrounding something, like, get together and make something based off of a shared enjoyment of the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And always.
I think this is the first time we've seen, a Flash that is deliberately making a new incarnation of an existing cartoon.
Yeah. We've seen
a couple of parodies. We've seen lots of bricolage and
stuff that like flies extremely close to being the thing, like
Girl Child in Paradise,
and also Super Mario Brothers.
Yes,
especially the remake. Is incredibly close to just being Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, but this is made deliberately to be more Invader Zim.
It's more, literally more Invader Zim, not by the people who usually make Invader Zim.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of after Mystery Science Theater went off the air. In the mid-90s, there was a rise, especially through the internet, of amateur people getting together with their friends and making their own Mystery Science Theater videos to share around.
Yep, and that, I mean,
and this kind of reminds me of that.
We know how that turned out.
For some people, yes.
So you can kind of draw a straight line from Mystery Science Theater, like, appreciation to Let's Play.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, for sure.
That's,
right at the end, I don't know if you caught it, but right at the end, there's a little notice that said, "Don't sue us! Don't, no, none of that legal bullshit, please."
I didn't see that.
It's quite sweet.
That's cute.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I'm
please
glad
don't
that...
sue me, I'm only 15.
I like that the internet has always relied on copyright belongs to the original people, please don't sue me.
I mean, for the most part, I think that's worked out for most people.
Most people, yeah. We'll see how well those comments age.
Okay.
Anyway, would you like to learn about the folks behind Invader Zim 2's?
I'd love to learn about that.
I think we should have a little bit of Flash. I'm going to start by looking into the community itself.
Okay.
So, the Invader Zim fan animated series, they had a Facebook group, they had a full website, community, social network on Tappertalk, basically for fans to come together and share not only fan art they've made, their own original characters. Like, we're browsing through it now and there is some beautiful, earnest love for everything Invader Zim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of fan characters, cosplay, All these things. But also, every now and then, there are people have drawn concept art. People have drawn up little storyboards and comics and ideas for future installations of the Invader Zim fan animated shorts, which sadly never happened.
I kind of felt,
this was the only one.
I kind of felt like when we saw Invader Zim fan animated short series, from the fact that I'd never heard anything more of it, that it probably just kind of petered out.
Yeah, but I mean, posts have still continued into the 2010s. Contribution to the forum have continued, albeit in drips and drabs.
Okay.
So, you know, this is still something that people wanted for a long, long time. And, you know, they even have a their own wiki, which describes a lot of the people involved.
Huh.
You know, with lots of plans for future projects, with cartoons such as Nubs of Doom and Pants, with an exclamation
point. These sound like they could legitimately be Invader Zim episodes.
Yeah, so I think it's really cool and also kind of sad and melancholy to see, like, you know, all of these plans and all this excitement and all of these projects just not coming together. For whatever reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that a group of people came together and was like, let's do the thing, and then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this kind of thing is like a logistical fucking nightmare. There's always drama, and there's always bullshit with stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
So one of the people, the main animator, of the short was a person called Cyber Ren, aka Brock Jansen.
Okay.
Who is still making animation stuff.
Cool. Good.
As far as I'm aware. Yeah, Brock Jansen, you know, has an animation demo reel on a YouTube channel, has previously made lots of little comedy videos, YouTube poop stuff. And also, weirdly enough, the first upload on his YouTube page is an Invader Zim fan cartoon that someone else made?
Oh, okay. I see a Banjo-Kazooie cartoon.
Oh, no. There's lots of Banjo stuff, actually.
Good.
And seems to be, you know, doing his best to build a decent portfolio
mm-hmm.
of animation and graphic design and web stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is nice. Has a Twitter. The Twitter is locked. Shrug.
Okay. Fair enough.
Cyber Ren continues to do stuff. It's kind of under the radar for the most part. Did a lot of Flash animations way back in the day, including a couple that were removed by moderators. They in 2012 made something called Pube Muppet Remasturbated. So,
okay,
that was the thing.
Yes.
And other stuff as well.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier that I'd be talking about the music.
Yes, you did, yeah.
So the music was composed by a name which might ring a very small bell, someone called Chicago Lolly. I see your face as you're trying to put things together.
That name does sound familiar.
So Chicago Lolly is a figure who was active in the Invader Zim fan community.
Okay.
And also in the furry community, animation community, and made various Flash animations, a lot of music and stuff, other graphic design things.
Mm-hmm.
Really good album back in 2012 called Retail,
okay.
which I own and is, like, properly good.
All right, okay.
Definitely worth checking out.
Okay, sure.
And so when I first watched this, I was like, wait, hold on, I know that name. Whoa, what? Really? It's wow. You know?
Yeah.
Just like, the connections there. So that amuses me. But also, the music, according to Chicago Lolly himself, is imperfect. Because, uploaded a decade ago, there was an original score put together by Chicago Lolly that was rejected by the team lead for the animation project, and then had to be replaced.
Okay.
You could see echoes of this kind of, as you said, like, you know, headbutting and drama and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see echoes of it in a comment that was left by Chicago Lolly at the time, to the video itself, to the animation.
Okay.
In which he says, am I a bad person for not voting very high? I did the actual episode music, and I still don't quite like the sound of it. But that's my fault for being so slack and stupid and forgetful, and I just realized there's something seriously wrong with the preloader. It just goes to the menu before it's finished loading. And yeah, yay, now it's on Newgrounds. It'll reach some odd score because it has Zim and Gur and Dib in it. Then people will start voting Zero to get it off the chart, and our boards will be bombarded by Zim fans who just want to chat and not help. And there'll also be people wondering why it was so short, even though it's called the most horrible short ever. But that's okay, because we all knew it would happen anyway. Smiley face. Golly, I sure do hope we get some more animators in. Oh, and I secretly hope that this doesn't make front page, because I'm very scared.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's just, I highlight this comment not to be like, haha, look at this guy, but like, just, because it's an really interesting little microcosm of the kind of stuff that does happen behind the scenes with these big fan projects sometimes. And... yeah, and like, you know, this is 13 years ago, and everyone involved has gone on to other stuff. I couldn't find that many things about the other animators involved in that kind of stuff, or the voice actors.
Right. Okay.
But I thought this was just an interesting little rabbit hole to fall into.
It's always really interesting to like. Find like tight little small little communities that were really active for a really brief period of time.
Yeah,
you know, like someone out there who now like works like a regular like 9 to 5 and has like a family and kids probably has nostalgia for this.
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always feel a little melancholy. Looking at these old sites and these old communities and kind of, you know, I suppose I get that kind of secondhand sorrow for what could have happened.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, that it could have been really, really, really cool because you could add a whole, like, series of unofficial Invader Zim stuff. I mean, God knows how long that would have been allowed to continue.
Yeah, I mean, the Invader Zim fan community, there was so much fan art, there was so much fan fiction.
Yeah,
with, you know, all sorts of topics.
Things.
Some less savory than others.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I hope the most is that the folks involved in this project like got to see the new movie.
Well, they must have done.
Oh yeah.
They must have done.
Yeah. I kind of wish I was able to go back and tell, you know,
it'll be okay.
These teens in 2006, hey, don't worry.
Like, eventually, there'll be like a movie that you can watch.
Jonah will come back for you.
Yeah.
And lift us all up together in his loving arms.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Jonah Vasquez, if you're listening, please write in. FlashinThePancast@gmail.com. Yeah, so that was a little bit of a melancholy, and
okay.
I apologize.
That's but okay.
These things aren't always happy. Sometimes there are things.
It's like it's an abandoned project, and it had a lot of potential. And whenever you see something that could have been great, and you find like there's a bunch of people, a ton of people involved in trying to make it come together, and it just never does. It's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. Well, what some people are going to do is comment. Ooh,
that is going
to... Boom, that's a segue.
There is going to be comments.
So we're going to start off with our old pal, Ericho.
Oh, there they are.
Hi, Ericho. Or Erico. You still haven't written in, Ericho. I'm very upset.
Very upset.
Ericho, on May 9th, 2017, so just 2 years ago, came and gave this 4.5 out of 5 and said, it was great to see this style again. Well... anyway, there actually is, in fact, a comic book continuation of the Invader Zim series.
Yeah.
So it isn't gone forever. Oh, and they apparently aired all the episodes later. Well, I didn't quite follow it after that. The animation is spot on. I do think the voices could be a little better. I especially didn't care for Dibs. Still, this does seem like something that would occur in an episode of the show. I wish it was a full episode. You guys certainly have potential. No, it wasn't horrible.
It wasn't horrible. It really wasn't.
That's really sweet. Yeah. Thank you, Ericho. If you want to take the next one.
Okay. Invader Zim 36987. Nice. October 8th, 2013, said, like, unimpressed face, several ellipses, and then, yeah, that was the most embarrassing moment of my Erkin life. A lot of... dots, and then the unimpressed face again. 1.5 out of 5.
So
they really didn't like it, I guess.
Well, that's...
Sorry.
Clearly in-character as Invader Zim, looking back on these historical documents...
Obviously.
And thinking, no, the time that I was spanked by my robot buddy...
Oh, no.
Invader Zim 36987, I kind of hope is still sticking to the script, you know? Still
in character. Hasn't changed the handle.
No.
And people are like, what's the... Like, people now are like, what's that about? And just like, it's fine. But it's nothing.
I hope they still only post in character.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. I also hope they moderate some like large tech forum or something.
Moderate it in character as invaders. Yeah, of course, yeah.
PV2 White in August of 2006, just after this came out, said, "That was slight of perfect. That was awesome, no complaints here except for how the voices sounded like you did them in a plastic cup." "That was pretty funny, though. I wish they would continue with Invader Zim. That show was awesome." To which Cyber Ren himself responded, "We had to decrease the sound quality so it would fit in the 5 meg file size limit."
But also, like, microphones back in 2006 just sounded like that. That's just often, how they sounded. Yeah. If you had a headset, which we all did in 2006, they sounded like shit. No one sounded good back then.
And the final comment I have is from one of the animators.
It's huge. Oh my god. Okay.
Which is why I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, thanks. Dark Praetor, August 16th, 2006. Animator speaks, pilot released. "Yes, even though I did part of the animation on this, I'm writing a review about it for the sake of all the loved fans out there. And for those who wondered if any of this stuff was forged. It was created 100% original. Poses, backgrounds, audio, everything from our own staff of the IsFAS. Truth, there's a lot of things I'm not satisfied about in this flash. The scriptural one. But we all did our job to get it complete. That's from a perfect animator's perspective. It was a struggle with our low staff and various ups and downs. Like constipated face. But we finally did it. It's like a concentrating face or something. Constipated. But we finally did it. And released a positive symbol that will hopefully thrive throughout the community. Of course, it isn't all that, I admit. But it's getting close. Closer. And closer to making Invader Zim coming back a reality. We have other voices that sound exactly like the originals. Not including voices heard in this pilot. Our first goal is creating the episode that never made it on the air, but was scrapped when Zim was cancelled, and you fans can help perfect it, making future episodes of Invader Zim for the public and free of charge, donating your talents and making this actually happen, joining our team. Hopefully this will be one of many to be released. We are looking for animators, music and sound guys, anyone who thinks they can do a better voice of a character, storyboarders, colourists, and artists all alike to apply. Head on over and check it out." This is just a big advert.
A little bit.
"We made this to declare this is a serious approach. We're not fucking noobs. We're not kidding around. We're serious about this and it's going to happen. Hopefully this has made my message be heard. Thanks for listening. Happy face. Peace."
So I want to end on that one because...
5 out of 5.
Yeah, well, of course he gave his own cartoon 5 out of 5.
Thinks highly of himself, doesn't he?
But like I was saying, I think it's really sweet and really cool that...
They were really trying to pull it all together.
Yeah.
It just didn't quite work out.
No, but we still have the most horrible short ever.
We do.
And we still have, you know, the spirit of that community and all sorts of other fan communities.
Yeah. I'm sure they were all very happy about Enter the Floorpus.
I hope so, yeah. Because it was good.
It was very good.
Yeah. So, after that, bittersweet experience.
Yes.
I think it's time to lighten things up and go for a modern comedy classic.
Okay.
This is one of our most requested flashes, since the very beginning.
Yep.
I mentioned the podcast to someone at work and they said, "Oh, are you going to do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, probably."
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And what is this, Alex?
It's ASDF movie.
ASDF movie. It's ASDF movie. We're finally doing it. Stop shouting at us. Here we go.
Somebody help me. I'm being robbed.
I'll save you. Tree powers activate.
That was ASDF movie.
That was about as good as I remember it being.
And how good's that?
Very good. Yeah. Excellent. It's still really good. It holds up still.
I think so, yeah. This is where it all began.
Yeah, it all started right there. The first ASDF ASDF movie.
So you might be asking why we chose to do it this time. Mm-hmm. And that's because in the last week, the newest episode of ASDF movie has been released.
Yeah.
And so we're getting all that SEO.
That's wild shit.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So it's been 11 years.
11 whole fucking years.
And it's a little comedy skit.
Yeah.
Compilation.
Yeah.
Very short.
Very short. Very sweet. Again, another definition of short and sweet.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It's a good combination of, you got some low random humor in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Die a potato. No.
That comes back.
It does.
That comes back as a recurring joke throughout the series. I remember this.
It does. This is actually before a lot of the big recurring jokes from the series.
Yes.
This is before I Like Trains, Kid.
I Like
Kid.
Trains.
This is before the Stegosaurus.
I am a Stegosaurus.
Yeah. This is even before the pie-flavored pie.
Oh, yeah.
But what you do have is, like, you know...
Sorry.
Like, some comedy writing, you know, like, muscle flexing here.
Yeah,
you've got some fun ideas, some less good ideas.
Yeah,
but even the short ones that aren't very good, like, they're so quick that you've forgotten about them by the next one.
Yeah, it's just further on from when we saw Edgeworld.
A bit, yeah.
The jokes were thick and fast, and even the ones that didn't fully land, they were coming in at you with another one if you didn't like that one.
Yeah, the pacing is very, very
again,
good.
Yeah, like, the pacing, the writing, the direction of it all is just spot on.
I think so,
Nothing really to complain about with regards to the pacing, because it is just, it's really well paced.
See, one thing that I do appreciate is, and we actually had this with the Sim cartoon, is that there's at least a good grasp of how to use silence for comedy?
Yes, a lot. I think a mistake a lot of people make when they first try to, like, do their own, like, visual comedy stuff is they don't fully take advantage of, as you say, the use of silence, because that can, like, add a lot to a joke.
Yes.
Like, why do you think in so many, like, sitcoms, when someone says something really daft, they hang on it? Like, you cut away to different characters looking at each other like, what? Like, that's why they do that, is so that, you know, can think, really see, let the joke sink in and then come in with a punchline.
Yes. So it's this, like I was saying, it's this great mix of the low random stuff.
Yeah.
You've got some kind of dad jokey stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
Some very dad jokey stuff. Yeah. You've also got some odd little meta things. Like, I did enjoy tree powers activate.
And then he just becomes, again,
becomes not a tree, but like a sketch of a tree.
Again, a perfect example of the right ways to use silence, because he turns into a tree. And he didn't just cut away as soon as he turned into a tree. We lingered on it for, like, a good, like, 3 or 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's the punchline. Revel in it.
Revel in it.
Yeah.
There's the tree. And then we go to the next joke.
Yeah, I think it works.
Yeah.
And this is not as violent as a lot of the other ones would become.
No.
Because later ASDF movies, as I'm sure we'll cover in future, like, they get, like, very silly violence-wise.
Yeah. I mean, that's Tom Scar's thing.
Oh, yeah, no, Tom Scar and in our Flash R later, we'll be talking a lot more about him, I imagine.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's good at the funny violence.
Very.
And you do get some of this in here. I mean, like, the first joke is, look out, he's got a nose. Runs in, guns blazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Got your nose, look out, he has a nose, and he gets shot to death.
Yeah. That's cute. You also get, in terms of comedy influences, it feels like there's a bit of Family Guy in here as well.
Maybe a little bit.
Specifically, I'm thinking of the cake that gets stabbed, and then it lingers on the agony and the screaming for a while.
Yeah, but see, if it was Family Guy, it would have lingered on the screaming for like 5 minutes.
That's true.
At which point you are changing the channel.
Yes, that's true.
It's not funny. It's just.
Seth MacFarlane, if you're listening, please write into the show.
No, don't. Please, you are really unfunny. I think I'm funnier than Seth MacFarlane, to be fair.
I will still maintain that Family Guy seasons 1 to 3 and most of 4 are pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Email in if you disagree. flashinthepancast@gmail.com.
Basically, it was funnier for less time than The Simpsons was funny.
Oh, much, yes.
Yeah.
Other stuff here. We get what I assume is a tribute in that in one whole bit, a guy is punched in the face and suddenly gets Ego Raptor style eyebrows.
Oh yeah, that's definitely
a little tribute.
It's definitely a tribute. Yeah.
Because at the time, you know, the video game awesome thing was on the rise, and
all roads lead back to Ego Raptor.
For some reason, yeah.
Anyway.
What was that?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, at one point, there's the little skit where it's the smell of my flower. Mmm, nice flower. And then there's nothing. And then a monster bursts out of his chest.
Yeah. Right?
But just as that's happening, one of the two characters says quite quietly, "Lol."
Yes.
And that kind of threw me a bit, because that felt I don't know. That
it's appropriate for the time.
It was appropriate.
To say, lol.
I know it was appropriate for the time, but it also felt kind of weird, because like this, as we were discussing before we started recording, As of Movie is right on the cusp of when Newgrounds was giving way to YouTube as the place to go for your animation stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And As of Movie didn't get huge on Newgrounds, it got huge on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I feel like the lol and just like adopting some of that kind of vocabulary from the newer generation of YouTube users and that kind of stuff. That's what it feels like, at least. But it feels like a hint of a small cultural shift.
Maybe. I mean, Tom Scott would have been well and truly in with all of that at that point. So it makes sense for him to say, "Well." Or just to throw it in, like, I mean, unfortunately, it would have been something that I was saying around the time that As If Movie came out.
Were you the kind of person that would say lol, IRL?
I would say lol.
I would occasionally say ruffle, but only to the two people I knew who were also online. And I would spell it R-O-F-F-L-E.
Good. Like truffle.
Yes, like truffle.
But incredibly funny instead.
Look.
Really funny truffle.
Look, you don't have to patronize 14-year-old me, okay? He had a hard enough time.
I know.
The music is good.
Yeah.
The music is fun.
Yeah.
It's some fun, bouncy.
Yeah.
Electronic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
That pretty much covers everything.
Yes, I think it does.
Yeah. In that case, it might be time for maybe a slightly briefer flash. So we've already covered Tom Scar, Thomas Tom Scar Ridgewell, on the show.
Yep.
So there's not really much to say about him because we've already been over him and his accolades. So
I thought you were going to say antics.
Well, that as well. So As a Different Movie was uploaded to Newgrounds August 10th, 2008.
Yep.
It was front page. It won daily feature and weekly third place.
Oh.
So it was, I believe it was front page like the day after it was uploaded as well, which is impressive. So the reason for the name Asdiff Movie.
Is it that if you couldn't think of a name? And so
yeah, just... so if you look at your keyboard where it says QWERTY and then underneath that it says ASDF. So literally what he did was he pressed ASDF and then said, and then put movie on the end.
Yeah.
And that was it. And Asdiff Movie was born.
it's like calling your piece of art Untitled.
Yeah. Or like a self-titled album. We couldn't think of what to call it.
Yep.
So, something that maybe you didn't know, probably. Originally, Asdiff Movie first began life as custom emoticons for MSN Messenger.
Oh, yes.
And he had the idea to use the emotes for heads as characters, which he then created into a comic, into a webcomic. So it was actually a webcomic before it was a cartoon.
Okay.
So after he had the comic running for a little while, without really much success, he decided that he was going to adapt the comics into a cartoon, heavily inspired by the Laser Collection. Remember the Laser Collection?
We haven't talked about the Laser Collection yet.
We will, because it's very, very important. Around the time he was like, I should turn this into a cartoon, he was approached by the animator James Cunningham, who was a young fan of Tom's at the time, and he offered to animate the whole thing for free, which, of course, Tom said yes to.
Well, yeah, why not?
Why not? And then it was uploaded to YouTube and Newgrounds and garnered masses of attention for both Tom and James Cunningham.
Oh, yeah.
So a little bit about James Cunningham. Not much. Couldn't find a lot.
Okay.
But the animator James Cunningham is still making stuff.
Nice.
The last post that they made on Newgrounds was in January.
Oh, okay.
Just like, hey, here's the thing I drew. Like, they just posted it to Newgrounds. And they made a bunch of animations, which have been uploaded to YouTube, including a Game Grumps animated feature, which has been featured on the actual Game Grumps channel.
Oh, that's cute.
All roads lead back to Aaron Hansen.
Apparently, yeah.
Other than that, couldn't find much. Other than he describes himself on his website as director, animator, and good boy.
Aww.
That's...
My name's Garth Marenghi. Writer, dreamweaver, visionary.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay.
That's Asdiff Movie began as a custom MSN remote before becoming a comic and then a cartoon, which is how it's widely known today.
Were any of the jokes from the comic strip reused in the... Okay.
Like, I believe, like, most of the jokes that were used in the cartoon appeared in the comic.
Okay, so it's just a straight adaptation.
It was a straight adaptation, which became way more popular as a cartoon. So the comic was shit-canned, and they continued the cartoon.
Like with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the first one I went to. But yeah.
No, yeah, like, yeah, Turtles was way more popular as a cartoon.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do the dark and edgy Turtles anymore, and a lot of people were very upset about that.
Yes. But then they came back for a big crossover movie.
And that was cool.
Yeah. We're going to finish off with some comments.
There aren't a lot of comments. A lot of people were just complaining that it was too short. People complaining about the TV static transition.
It is a bit jarring.
Yeah.
A bit loud.
People were like, it's too random. Like, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of that kind of comment, so I just pulled ones that caught my eye more than others.
Okay. So, shall I start?
Go ahead.
So, Neon 1, August 13, 2008, so just after this came out, said,
yeah.
Amazing! 8 exclamation marks. Totally amazing! 6 exclamation marks. Gave it 0 stars. Oh, that's the classic.
Never not funny.
That's
every single time. It's like they got really excited and was like, yeah, wait, no shit. We've got Daniel Gomez Deli Maffel. What the fuck?
Daniel Gomez Deli Maffel.
Yeah, December 27th, 2018 said, oh my god, my favorite movie. Heads World. This somehow has no rating.
What?
Just not a rating of 0. There's no rating on this comment at all.
How interesting. Okay. Geo Kill said, very funny. Like Robot Chicken without clay or dolls. And yeah, that's pretty good. We haven't really talked about Robot Chicken as an influencer.
Robot Chicken. So, is it Robot? So, was Robot Chicken inspired by Flat, like Newgrounds stuff, or was it the other way around?
I think it's a feedback loop.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that Seth Green wasn't the kind of person that...
Oh, he was incredibly online.
Exactly, yeah.
He's, like, online right now.
Oh, no.
He's, like, plugged straight in.
Yeah, he's permanently wired in. Seth Green is a cyberpunk now. Just like Billy Idol.
That would be a... That would be... Sorry. Like a foot... Like...
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Cyber Corporation, Cyberpunks. Actual Billy Idol quote.
Good. How fucking awesome would it be if, like, tomorrow Seth Green turned around and was like, hey, fuck the cops. And, like, posted a picture of himself, like, really cool sunglasses.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like, visor sunglasses. And, like, huge headphones and shit. That would be awesome.
Wow.
No, I fucking can't stop thinking of that. So this last one is just caught me because of its simplicity.
Okay.
So, Flash Person Dude,
yeah.
December 21st, 2008, says, lol. And then the animator responds, lol. Oof. Really, what more can you say?
Yeah. With that, I think it's time to wrap up. except not entirely, because we asked you folks to email in.
We asked you to email in, and we accidentally sent you the wrong...
No, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Well, okay, maybe... Okay, so... There was a little fucky wucky.
Oopsie poopsie.
There was an oopsie poopsie. and I sent out the wrong email.
Oopsie.
By mistake. That has since been corrected. If you sent in emails to us in the last couple of weeks, then I apologize. They might have been lost forever.
They may have gone to someone who's very confused right now.
Yes. But we did get a couple. Specifically... responding to the prompt. So last episode, we had the wonderful Morgan Kitten on.
Yes, we did.
And one of the animations we talked about was Rokemon, which involved obscure video game characters battling.
Yes, it did.
And so we just asked you, hey, what obscure video
what
game
video
characters...
What video game characters did you fight?
Yeah, which and we had a couple of responses. Okay. So, Great Joe, our frenemy.
Hi, Joe.
Wrote in, say, howdy, partners.
Pardners. He specifically spelled it Pardners.
Okay. Howdy, Pardners.
There you go.
So you asked for obscure video game characters in our fantasy showdown. So, Duke Garland from Zeliard versus Hard Hat Mac. I mean, one of them has a sword. The other has committed multiple health and safety violations. Clearly, these two are evenly matched, and the hypothetical fight is sure to look kicking rad. Also, remember that time Silit Bang tried to cash in on that... What?
On that 1HHC remix?
So, okay. Also, remember that time Silit Bang tried to cash in on that 1HHC remix of their commercials by having Jackazid make another one? That sure was a thing nobody asked for. I only understand half of those
words. I don't understand what this means.
Great Joe, please respond, or anyone else who has any idea what you're talking about, because Great that Joe sounds wild.
Great Joe, explain.
Great Joe, explain. I am confusion. Another Joe, different Joe.
A different Joe.
This is Joe without an E. Simply said, clearly the best fight would be between Svice
from Skies of Arcadia
and Chieftain from Elite Beat Agents.
Absolutely.
For reasons I do not think I need to explain.
Not really.
That would be an extremely colourful battle.
An incredible fight, and I would love it.
I want, like, a rhythm action... Skies of Arcadia remake.
Why don't we should play through Skies of Arcadia? We should just do it.
I used to have a copy on my GameCube, but I sold it, and now it's like £50 plus to buy a new copy.
Yeah, that's fine. We can just burn a ROM onto a
it's
CD
not
and
the
play
same.
It on, and play it on the Dreamcast.
It's not the same. finally, ZS wrote in with an email, what response to and prompt.
Okay.
And says, do you want to take this one?
Sure. Dearest internet archaeologists, interologists, if you will.
Ooh, that makes it sound like okay. That makes it sound like we just study the colon.
It does. It does sound like we do some like kind of intrusive surgery performance.
Intestines.
Yeah. Two obscure video game characters I would love to see in a fight. Hungry Horace, fueled by the twisted, boundless rage of trying to figure out what on earth he is supposed to be. And G.I. Ant, from Pushover. Despite everything we know about the strength of ants, this one chooses to use its strength to carry and push dominoes to get quavers. A bold move, possibly an outside-the-box thinker. Love the show. Keep up the good work. ZS. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ZS. I think you win for the most obscure polls for that. Because I was not expecting anyone to be talking about
Hungry
Horace.
Hungry Horace has got no idea what the fuck he's supposed to be.
He really doesn't.
And neither does anyone else, to be fair.
I have another fun prompt for folks to write in for the next episode. So we've talked about Zim.
We've talked about
fans desperately trying to bring him back. We've talked about the creators actually bringing him back.
Yes.
We want you to write in and quite simply tell us, hey, what cool cartoon that ended a while ago needs to come back?
See.
Or alternately, what needs to stay when it was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so tell us what you'd like to see come back and what you definitely would not like to see come back.
Yeah, maybe they're the same thing. Maybe now, you're of two minds and you just can't handle it.
Now, for me, my immediate reaction is to go DuckTales. Woo-hoo. But that came back.
It did.
It came back. So my secondary option then, of course, is Darkwing Duck.
Woo-hoo. Oh, wait. Well, if you also want to get dangerous, then you can you can write in to answer our prompt, or with any other questions, comments, confessions of love, complaints, love a complaint, to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And that is the correct email address.
Email address. Congratulations.
I checked because I'm reading it off the screen. you can find Alex on the internet as well.
What? Who's what? When? Since who let this happen?
I've had a call from MI5.
Well, yes, you can find me online at twitter.com/DEX01. That's Dexo1. That's where you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Bandcamp at alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I recently put out a new album, which is also available on Spotify and Apple Music.
Hooray!
Yay! I do streams I did it Saturday but not Sunday because I was too tired.
Fair.
I probably won't do it again this weekend either because I'll be too tired. But most weekends I do streams of video game stuff or just whatever I feel like doing, even if it's just video game adjacent, and those take place youtube.com/VNDLP.
Nice. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude PRKMS. Mm-hmm. And you can find the show's Twitter at FlashITPancast. That's FlashItPancast.
It is.
Yeah. You can also find the website for our show at FlashInThePancast.com. And until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And tell my wife and kids I love them!
Have a great Flash!
Flash in the past!